In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Mother, don't you recognize your son?
Welcome. Everyone to oh boy that was loud. Sopranos. Podcast. As always, I'm Joe Spellman and this is
David Futernick. Did you forget your name?
I don't know. Did you forget yours? It sounded almost like you did.
I was distracted by you.
Guys, it's the biggest drinking night of the year, so Spells is obviously crocked. But, hey, there you go.
It's been the biggest drinking year of the year.
I haven't been. Yeah, I haven't been drinking. Oh, and also this is Paul Golias.
Oh yeah, sorry. Hey guys.
And we're talking season 3, episode 8. He is risen. And you know, I haven't been drinking in a while, and I'm drinking some scotch tonight.
Oh no.
Because you know, I should have been at my high school 20th anniversary today.
Reunion?
Whatever. I probably would not have gone.
No, it's the anniversary of the
reunion.
The school is 20 years old.
Yeah, no, the school is 20 years old. Guys, you know, I started like an hour ago.
Great.
Anyway.
Will you introduce our guest?
Let's get into it. Introduce our guest. You guys know him from. Actually, I know that he does a podcast called the Bible Bros. I know he has an extensive resume, acting and writing credits that I can't rattle off as easily. But I remember him and know him from UCB in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Klein.
Woo. Oh, thank you, boys. Mwah,
mwah, mwah. Welcome. Mwah. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
It's very appropriate that you're having a drink for this episode because a drink plays a big part.
It does.
Part.
Yes. That's right.
Absolutely.
You're 100% so far this episode, Dan. Man,
fantastic.
You're killing it,
dude. I'm crushing it. Should I just end it now? Should I? Thanks, guys. Thanks.
And that's all we got.
Listen to Bible Bros.
Get off the fucking Zoom.
Yeah. So
get out of here.
So should we just dive right into it or what?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's take our time. Oh, sorry. I don't know if that's...
Spells already took his merry time getting us here.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
We're going to have enough time
whenever I talk.
It did sound like a producer was like, stretch it out, stretch it out. Dan's not here yet.
We need more time.
Yeah.
He's in the cab.
So
where's he coming from?
As Spell said, this is He Is Risen, written by Robin Green and Mitchell Burgess and Todd A. Kessler, directed by Alan Coulter, originally aired April 15th, 2001. Great day. Which was actually Easter Sunday. I don't know if you guys remember, if anybody is watching live.
He is returned.
He is, yeah. Well, he is risen. Weird Thanksgiving episode on Easter, but we'll roll with it.
That's weird. Well, I don't know why that is.
Yeah,
It kind of like, I've always wondered, like, did they name the episode knowing that it was going to air on Easter Sunday? Or how did that work? I don't know, but probably not, right? The rundown for anybody who hasn't seen this in 19 years. Tony and Ralphie deal with their fractured relationship after the events of university. We have Meadow and Jackie Jr. reconnecting. And the other big thing this episode, enter Gloria Trillo.
Yes.
Hottie.
Hell yeah.
My favorite of the Gumars.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite of the Gumars.
Oh, yeah.
She's the best.
Why did they also name it He Is Risen? Because that is also a line in another episode, right?
In another episode?
Well, doesn't Aaron say it again? And Tony's like, yeah, remember. Yeah, you said it the other time.
Oh, so the narcoleptic guy, Aaron, Janice's boyfriend, comes back in season 6, I think.
Who's the actor's name is Turk. Turkey? Turk?
Turk? Oh, Devin, we are unraveling all sorts of mysteries here. This is why you listen to us. But yeah, let's start from the top. So we kick it off at a college party, at some like frat house. Is that at Columbia where Meadow goes? Or
it must be. Yeah,
I don't know. Is that how you guys remember college parties?
No, but I didn't go to Columbia.
Well,
and also not. Wait, what year was it? 2001.
2001. Yeah.
I would not have been in college. It looked, it's crazy to see how dated the things look.
Yeah,
it's
like true. The black light and shit.
But it had some good college vibes, yeah. But
well,
you were like, oh wow.
Yeah, like the neon, like glow in the dark, like paint and shit. No. Like
real rave.
That I mean,
Spells,
I like,
you Spells, you were in college then. Do you remember like the black lights and the paint that, all no. over
doing
shit?
X.
Yeah, doing X, dude.
You were selling ecstasy back then.
I wasn't selling. No, it was a lot of like theater people playing beer pong in my like cramped dorm. That was okay. That was the extent of the parties that I had.
Not
you know, but I wore a yarmulke all the time, and everybody would call it. Would be like, oh, chicks dig the lid, you know? That,
yeah, no doubt.
That's definitely what
I did
happened.
Have, like, I did have a really embarrassing moment was when Meadow's friend is like, that guy's hot, the guy who's selling ecstasy. But in the shot is, like, his Jewish friend. And I was like, they're talking about him? That's interesting. Like, but that was clearly, like, Jewish-centric point of view of, like, oh, wow, I guess they're attracted to
like,
that guy.
Wow, I never had two girls cool. like this, like, at a college party be like, yeah. oh, check out this guy. With his fucking chain wallet.
Yeah. But you didn't have your lid on, man. You got to put the lid on.
I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that'll be an interesting relationship on this show.
With a side note, the three of us used to, we went on a trip up to the Pacific Northwest that we do every year. And we kept saying, come to Duff's. Come to Duff's. Because this fucking episode, and we come to find out the guy's name is Dove, not Duff.
I didn't
ruined
know
our
that
whole
the,
fucking bit.
That the Jewish guy that was Dove.
Dove Ginsburg.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We get a little insight into Dove.
But, yeah, sure.
Nice.
He's an ecstasy dealer. which I didn't see coming. But yeah, so that sort of kicks off this whole new in the like the back half of the season, we get the whole storyline of Meadow cozying up with Jackie Jr. Which I guess is to contrast like her relationship with Noah, who is very much outside of the Italian-American New Jersey world. And then Jackie Jr. is just like a fucking Goomba. And
well,
he's like
one
of them.
The running theme of the show is that, like, yeah, you could try all you want. Because Carmela goes through it, too, when she has her separation.
Right.
And then, like, you could try all you want, but you always come back to the life. You always come back to the mom.
You can't escape it. Yeah.
Family, yeah.
Yeah, definitely a recurring theme. Then we head into the casino, I guess. There's like sort of casino, where is this place? Is it just like above like a hardware store or something? And
yeah, we see it like another episode too, like later on, because Ralphie does end up taking over the casino, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, it's like it's some fucking like speakeasy type place.
Yeah, like, I just love
Spells,
the.
You played like poker at a place kind of like that in New York, right?
I played poker at a lot of underground clubs.
You and A-Rod
that were really.
How do you get like the invite? Who like someone sees you and
yeah,
it's like you got the goods?
Yeah, especially how did you particularly Joe get the invite?
Back then,
you're at Christie's.
Back in 2001, probably, no, I'm sorry, it would be like 2005 or 2006, they advertised on Craigslist, and I would go to a warehouse or like the 13th floor of like a building in Manhattan, like a Champion Studios like type place, like that would
that's
like,
so weird,
it would
and
just
they
be
got...
like an office building, and yeah, and there would be like people playing poker. And I would win money.
And they got busted
places...
up, right? Like that's so weird. How did they know that was going on?
Yeah.
Oh, that. Oh, they saw it on Craigslist. The cops saw it. On Craigslist.
Yeah, they got robbed. Like I think they got
it's very easy to bust.
But they would get busted up, or they would get robbed. Like they would get robbed by people, and they.
Oh, because they also could check Craigslist. Criminals and the police have access.
They're pretty smart criminals, you know. Like. But what did you say when you got there? Were you like, hello, I'm here for the illegal...
Oh, people just would show up. Like, anybody would show up. I ran into Michael Showalter at one, like in 2005 or six or whatever. And I knew it was him. And I bummed. I've told this story.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I bummed a cigarette from, or I tried to bum a cigarette from him. Went into the smoking room, which is like a closet, kind of like where you are, Dan. And
I'm recording from a closet for people who don't know.
And I was like, can I bum a cigarette? And he like frantically searched his pants and like couldn't find, after like a minute, he was like, I can't find him. I was like, cool, that was weird. I'll see you later.
Wait, was he smoking?
Yes.
And so he had a box of or, you know, a little pack somewhere.
Yeah.
He either acted like he couldn't find one, or do you think he actually couldn't?
You
think he gave lost one on
probably
his body?
He probably acted like he couldn't find one. I don't know. I've heard that he is a kind of awkward dude. I mean, I don't.
Well,
really
Dan,
you
wet hot, right? I mean,
I did. I worked with him.
Oh, right. Okay.
I had a great time working with him, though. I think it's different. Your personality is probably different when you're the boss. A boss of people at work, as opposed to
in a
someone on
closet.
The street.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he was, I would say he was not awkward as a boss, but I have heard awkward things about
him.
Sure,
he probably could tell that I like knew who he was, and he didn't want me to approach him at like one in the morning.
And he was like, "Oh, dude, well, don't talk to me about the Baxter. Please don't talk to me about the Baxter, dude. Please."
Wasn't as successful as it could have been. Fuck. But he's doing great now, guys.
Hey, good for sure.
Guy's crushing it.
Yeah, it's because he.
I love all his.
Because he saved his
work.
Cigarettes, dude. If he would have given you the cigarettes,
yeah, man. That's a little lesson right there.
Don't share.
But back to the.
Don't share, dude.
Sopranos.
Back to Sopranos.
I love this scene because I love like the tension in the scene, between Ralphie and Tony. They even play like the Western like as they like kind of see each other.
It's great too because he's so good at fucking earning money that he's even making a shit ton of money playing craps, and then like completely uses the power that he has winning all this money for everybody to be a fucking dickhead and not have a drink with Tony.
Well, they kind of have to do that, right? They kind of have to make all the biggest like thorns in Tony's side the biggest earners. Otherwise, like he would just kill them. Like it's
of
that
course.
Simple.
Right. Right.
He's even thinking about it now.
Yeah.
Still considering it. Very close to doing it.
And so there's the whole issue of the drink. And Tony asks Ralphie, you want a drink? Another time, Anthony. Which is big no-no. You always get a drink with the boss. When Spellman asks me, you want a drink? You know I'm having that drink with him.
Oh, yeah.
Same here. I'm not even on, it's not even my podcast.
Yeah, you better.
I'm like, I don't want to cross Joe.
No, you better.
Yeah.
You don't say another time. Drink up, Joe.
Another time. That means
another time, Joseph.
That means I'm drinking by myself, and that's not good.
Yeah.
No, I'm embarrassed.
Mostly we just want to look out for Joe. But I mean, as soon as Ralphie walks away, Paulie's like, we gotta whack this cocksucker. Like, this is like worthy of ending this man's life, denying the drink, which, you know, a lot comes before this, but this is the type of culture that they've like propagated here in the mob. Like anything
just, like,
can
itching,
fucking get
itching.
Killed. Yeah.
It seems horrible. You know, like you're already doing illegal things. You might as well try to make it a good time.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they're making it like tougher than just having a regular job.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's what this series actually really hammers home is like, you know, where past like depictions of mob life have been sort of glamorous. This is like, these guys are really fucking scraping by. And they could get killed at any fucking second. Like what? Like,
right. I mean, even just the opening of showing all of New Jersey in that way.
Right. Yeah.
You're like, this is pretty like, it's not a glamorous view of New Jersey. No.
New Jersey,
it's like,
for
this
the most
just
part,
what it
is not a glamorous place.
No, I mean, we like to think it is, you know, like you put on the suit. And
Dan,
stuff.
Where are you totally. From in Jersey?
Yeah, I was going to
ask. Old Bridge.
Oh, okay.
Is the town. It's pretty central. Yeah. You know, it's okay. It's very close to it's actually very close to Staten Island.
Yeah.
So it's like right on the Attleboro Bridge.
Yeah, is it close to it's close to Staten Island? Is it on off Route 9?
Oh baby.
So you were basically
right
in
off Route
the 9. Mafia,
I,
right?
That's
You were basically in the mafia, right?
Dude, every day I was so close to dying. But I lived right off Route 9.
Yeah, my parents lived in Howell.
Oh, now we're talking. Yeah. That's like Route 36, Route 35, you know, or
Route 9 and Route 9 too.
Oh, it went okay.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? Sorry, I was thinking Hazlitt.
Oh, fuck Hazlitt.
Fuck Hazlitt. That's where, okay, they got nice baseball, little league fields, but that's about
that's
it.
That's where Sammy from Jersey Shore is from. I know that.
Oh, fuck. Nice. Really? We're getting into some legit Jersey talk here.
Don't want to know how you know that. Let's keep moving along.
I know all things, you know. I was born in Staten Island. My family is originally from Staten Island, so, you know.
Right.
Oh, wow.
I know all things tri-state. Really. Hey.
But yeah, so that whole scene sort of kicks off that plot line for the episode in which Tony is trying to decide how to best handle Ralph. You know, he has a dinner with Silvio later where, you know, Silvio's like, you know, the fact is she wasn't related to you by blood or marriage. She wasn't your gumad. You probably shouldn't have hit him. And Tony, rightfully so, brings up the fact that he bashed a 20-year-old girl's head in for almost no reason who was carrying his baby. And Tony is presented with two choices: make him disappear or make nice. What do you guys think the right thing to do is? And what would you guys do if you were the mafia boss?
Fucking kill.
Also, he's a great earner, man.
Yeah, but like, who's even counting? Like they say, like, who's even counting at this point? Like, and I mean, it's not the first or the last time that he's a fucking pain in Tony's ass.
This is true, you know? But as a boss, like if you're gonna go whack this guy over somebody who the rest of your crew sees as like, you don't have any like grounds for having such a beef with him because you had no relation to this girl, then that might cause some shit, right?
You do and you don't. Like, look at how many of like your closest like advisors are saying like, dude, let's fucking kill him. You know, no one would miss him.
I would say Paulie is so eager to whack Ralphie because he knows that Ralphie is like eclipsing him income wise.
True. True.
Which I wouldn't put past Paulie. I don't know. Ultimately, we know
but
what
also,
happens.
But he's
satisfied with what they did, you know, because Tony has to just Tony, you know, like, you know, he beat the shit out of him. So, you know, like this is sort of like his way of, you know, apologizing, or his way of like righting the wrong that he did by making Ralphie captain at the end of the episode.
I mean, as per usual,
he's in that predicament.
And as per usual, shit falls into Tony's lap that helps him, because fucking Gigi dies on the toilet.
Yes. Yeah.
He died on the toilet.
Which I love, like the wake or whatever, Silvio's like, you know, like Elvis or that guy, Don, producer of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I love that.
First of all, no fucking way this guy in Jersey knows who produced The Simpsons.
Yeah, that I liked it because it seems so out of character.
Right.
Yeah, it was a little like, what are they trying to say with that joke? Was it just like them kind of being silly?
Yeah, it's like an insular joke.
It's like an inside base. They always like the writers and David Chase always sort of like throw like Hollywood, like inside jokes into the episodes. And I think I looked it up. Mm-hmm. This guy obviously was not an actual producer of The Simpsons. His name was Don Simpson. And he produced Days of Thunder, The Rock, Beverly Hills Cop, Crimson Tide.
And he died on the toilet?
He died on the toilet, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So he was right about someone.
But he was very accurate, actually, because his name was Don Simpson. And that's where he got The Simpsons.
It's a running like joke formula on the show where they like sort of get something right.
Right. Okay, but I got it. Like, he knows there is a story. Right. There is a Simpson guy that did die on the toilet.
Right.
So he's right. Yeah. They pay attention.
But he's not like reading the trades. Like, he's not fucking.
Or maybe he is, because how the fuck is he the producer of like Days of Thunder?
Still's getting variety delivered to his house. Yeah.
The thing that really threw me was that, knowing lots of Jersey people, I just don't think they would use the phrase producer of The Simpsons. Right. You know, like if it was my uncle or something, he'd be, hey, he's that guy. He does the thing on whatever, the show. You know, he's you always see his name on The Simpsons.
Right, right.
Like he wouldn't even know how people.
Yeah, that's,
yeah. Yeah, he wouldn't describe, like he wouldn't know the titles right. that people have behind the scenes of a TV show.
You know, the show with true. The kid that I would have given the back of my hand to.
The loud guy.
He always saying they eat my shorts. That kid, you know,
the skateboard.
My uncle, who had like he was more New York, but very like would have fit on The Sopranos. One time we just happened to be watching like American Idol. You know, when he was like over our house and they were doing those like the background stories of the people in the beginning, and he's like, "Who wants to see this stuff? We just want to see who gets knocked off." Like, dude, just relax, man.
Just watch.
Like, this is what the show is. Right. You don't just like fast forward to.
Let me see a guy get shot.
Get to
come
the
on,
cut.
I want to see the sad people.
Like, what are we? What is this? Wasting our time.
I want to see the people walk home, hang their heads.
Yeah,
in
boom.
Shame.
Throw some money. Also, just sorry to, as another tangent. Same uncle. First conversation he has with like my college roommate. He came to my college graduation. And I could hear them talking, and he's already talking about how NFL games are rigged. And he's telling my roommate, who has no interest in this, he goes, he's down the field. He throws a flag. They look at the instant replay. It was a phantom call. Basically, a phrase that I've never heard before or since.
Oh shit, Paul!
A phantom
Paul,
call.
That sounds like you with the that sounds like you with the replacement refs, dude. You wouldn't shut the fuck up about them.
Are they still in? Yeah. Come on. I know nothing. Yeah, I know nothing about organized sports whatsoever. Yeah. But
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, Jersey. That's Jersey.
That's Jersey for you.
Yeah, he lived in New York, but
yeah, it's all the same.
What do you guys think about how Johnny Sack was definitely sticking his beak in this episode? I feel like it was like a little.
He always does.
I mean, it makes sense that Ralphie would go to him for help. It makes sense that he would maybe be willing to mention something to Tony, but it seemed a little like not smart to me that the way he went about it, where he's like feeding Tony like one thing, like, oh, Ralphie brought up Capo, but I threw cold water on it, and then bringing it up to Ralphie like,
yeah,
oh,
but
what if he made you Capo? Like,
he does that shit with Paulie too, like in the show.
I know he's
like,
just like he's just like a snake, but like
also like,
but he's also a smart guy. So
think about like from his perspective, Ralphie is smart. He's a fucking really good earner. You could see him like possibly down the line winning some sort of power struggle. You know, he's kind of playing both sides a little bit, even though he's obviously more loyal to Tony. Like, I could see how like it, because it's not like he like, you know, as soon as he comes back, Ralphie comes back and is like, oh, we got to fuck. He's got to go. He shoots him down. He's like, you need to shut the fuck up right now.
All right. He's like, you want to commit suicide.
Yeah, you want to commit
pills
suicide.
Pills are a lot easier.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt to like have a place for people to come.
I know,
talk
but
to,
it's,
especially
it's like
people
so,
who. I mean, it's shitty, but also
it's
like
shitty,
it
but
seems,
it's also
it's,
you can you could get caught in that lie so easily. All Ralphie had to say was, "Oh, Johnny Sack told me you wanted to see me," and then. Fucking,
but it felt like it was kind of his only choice, right? Like, okay, if I want to get this thing moving,
right.
You know, to get like I have to tell him this and tell him
right,
that, because otherwise it's not going to happen.
Totally. I mean, he does because he does mention he wants Ralphie as the point man on the Esplanade shit, right?
Also,
right.
How many times is Hua said in this episode?
she was a Hua.
She was a Hua.
Went back to New Jersey last year visiting an aunt. She said Hua.
Ooh, did she really?
I was blown away.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Never heard anyone say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's like, you know, like cartoon character come to life.
Or
in actual real life.
Okay. Yeah.
She's also like 70 years old and from Brooklyn. So maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like
maybe her
my
view of Hua is.
My Trumpy aunt would like on Long Island, would absolutely say that. She's a fucking cartoon character. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like Betty Boop or like Bugs Bunny in a dress or something.
Hua hua.
I mean, it's just, it's like, it's so disgusting how they just cover up what is really the issue here of Ralphie beating this girl to death, where he's just like, like their euphemism for it is he disrespected the Bing. Yeah, he disrespected this fucking grimy ass strip club. That's a big fucking...
And so was like, well, he's not allowed there anymore. Like, oh, okay, well, I guess everything's okay then.
Everything's fixed.
Yeah, that's everything's fine.
But yeah, so ultimately Gigi ends up dying on the toilet, which John Fiore, the actor, was quite upset about, I think. He ended up doing these like Sopranos like tours in Jersey, like because he's just trying to ride. I mean, good actor, maybe shouldn't have been right now when he was, but he totally tried to ride that role.
Do you think he watched like Vito get like such a huge arc and be like, you fucking kidding me? This fucking marshmallow gets a fucking huge arc. Kidding me?
And he was a better actor.
So funny because it's like.
What's his name?
Vito.
Yeah.
Joe Ganniscoli. Yeah. Anyway.
It's funny just because he's like an actor and he just has to pretend to die. But the actor is like, I don't want to do this because I don't want people to see me on like sitting on the toilet and dying. Right. But it's like, you're not actually dying, man. But they don't like it. I'm surprised by how many times in Hollywood actors don't want to do things because they would technically look stupid.
Right.
And you're like, it's not you.
Yeah, it's a humiliating way to die. But of course, like, you know, especially the type of guy, he probably grew up East Coast Italian. Like, he was probably like, yo, I'm on The Sopranos. And then he goes out in the most, like, humiliating sort of like, oh, you're off The Sopranos now because you had a heart attack.
All his Jersey friends, you died on the toilet. Oh, dude. Oh, you look like an idiot.
Oh, my God. Like, face around town anymore.
You let him do that to you. So, like, did you choose how you died or, like?
Yeah. Why you say, I don't want to do this? What, are you crazy?
Why don't you just say
don't
no?
die.
Yeah.
Why don't you say,
they
like,
start
hey,
rolling, just don't do
why
it.
Why don't you say, like, hey, maybe, like, I get shot, though.
Yeah, I get shot in a cool fight. Yeah. And I don't die.
And then I survive, and then I become boss.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
I'm spitballing.
What the hell is this?
Missed opportunity. You should have done that.
The hell these writers?
But very sort of fortuitous for Tony that this opening comes up. But if Gigi hadn't died, like, so I mean, so Ralphie ultimately gets. I love, by the way, the little like little panning shot when Tony's considering
the funeral.
Who else he could put at like the head of his crew.
Yeah,
it's all
dummies.
These mooks. Yeah, like, and ultimately Ralphie, who he hates the most, is also he knows is the smartest, savviest guy to throw in there. But if Gigi hadn't died, like, where does that start? Where, like, how do you even resolve that? Do you think that would have been the end of Ralphie? Because Ralphie knows that it's either there's two endings for him. He's either apologized to, or he's fucking dead, right?
Yeah.
So like. What do you guys think? Like, if that hadn't happened, how does that resolve?
Yeah, it probably would have just escalated further until, like, you know, push came to
shove.
Because
Tony is such a cocksucker when Ralphie goes to visit him, and he won't even, like, have him take a seat. He won't even, like, like have a conversation
with
the guy.
It's so gross.
Yeah.
What a waste of energy to be, like, that dickish to somebody.
Oh, God. Yeah, Joe and I act like that to each other all the time. But I mean,
yeah, always. He's not talking to me the whole episode. Who said that? I don't know.
All right, you know what, Joe? I will have that drink.
Another time.
Oh, shit.
Another time.
David.
But,
yeah.
I don't know. Is there any, like, world where you could envision him, like, cutting Gigi's legs out from under him and saying, like, look, there's going to be some sort of power sharing situation.
No. You don't. Because that would have made him look weak. He talks about that with Uncle June. You know, he says that would have made him look weak. I don't think that would have happened. I think it would have I think it would have continued and escalated to a point where someone gets killed.
Right. Which ultimately happens anyway, but it's delayed a year or whatever, season 4 when Ralphie dies.
Exactly.
Thank God. Cause I mean, as despicable as he is, I mean, Ralphie's such a great character. I mean, just phenomenal character.
I mean, and Joey Pants is just fucking great, especially in those scenes, because you're so used to him being like the fucking loudmouth, funny guy. And then when he's all sheepish with Tony in that scene, he's just so fucking good.
This is a great episode of him just like stewing and Like at the shitty Thanksgiving dinner at Rosalie's, he's like, he's so fucking pissed off. Like, such a good actor.
That's the whole other aspect of the storyline we haven't touched on. Cause Tony is balancing his relationship with Ralph as his boss. And then also as the boyfriend of his wife's best friend, and the whole like disinviting him to Thanksgiving and shit. Like, I love when like just domestic suburban New Jersey regular life interact, like just crosses paths with like this absurd Italian mafia life, and this storyline just like pays off in dividends on that. I love all the scenes at Thanksgiving with obviously we talked about the narcoleptic guy, Aaron.
Almost time for turkey sandwiches.
I mean, when Tony throws the roll at him, come on. That's like maybe the funniest part in Sopranos history. Maybe not. That's a bold
maybe thing. You think, but, maybe, I mean, yeah, I don't know about the funniest part, but
it's funny. Funny.
It's a very funny show.
I find it funnier when Janice is talking about waiting on Barry Sanders at Kenny Rogers. He was such a sweetheart. Nobody gives a fuck.
Hold on. Did Kenny Rogers have Kenny? Like a Kenny?
Is she talking
Rogers
about Kenny Rogers roasters? Did they have?
Did they have servers?
I mean, maybe she got his order for him.
That's a good question.
Oh yeah, probably. Maybe
for our younger
food, I thought.
Yeah, for our younger listeners who maybe don't know what Kenny Rogers Roasters was, it was like Boston Market kind of.
Yeah,
right.
It's heavily featured in a memorable Seinfeld episode. I feel like also it was open for like 2 years and then like collapsed.
Yeah, it was very short lived.
Yeah,
right. I only knew of it from television.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I ever.
But I don't think I ever saw.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw.
I ate at one. You I did. Definitely remember eating at one in Wallingford, Connecticut, like probably a couple times. Yeah.
Wait, there was one in Wallingford?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
can't remember where it was.
Okay.
It was like a Boston Market, or, you know, for you like West Coast people, El Pollo Loco. That's like Boston Market.
Hey, if you've
anyway,
eaten,
this was the chicken
roasters,
hour.
Can we keep talking about just restaurants? Because that's what I'm on right now.
You know what food
I
like?
I've got mashed potatoes sitting in front of me that are just made and stuffing. So, like, food is on my mind.
Oh, yeah. We should say this is a Thanksgiving episode, and this will be posted on Thanksgiving, but we're recording the night before Thanksgiving. So, you know, food is on the mind.
We would all be at big parties.
Oh, yeah.
We would be at huge parties, huge raves with
I know. Oh, yeah. I would be at my 20th anniversary
of your high school.
Your 20th anniversary?
My 20th anniversary of going to high school.
is that the.
Is that like, then celebrate
I forget
the,
what it's called.
When you started high school?
Right.
Sure. Yeah. No.
Yeah,
or
you started.
No, graduated.
Is that the. Graduated. Is that the silver anniversary? What do you call that anniversary?
I think we call it the double deuce 10.
Oh,
the double deuce. Something 10. Like that.
Okay.
Yes.
What else are we talking about on this thing?
So we got to get into the Jackie Jr. Meadow shit. Do you guys think? So obviously they reconnect in that opening scene at college. They go back to her dorm. She's too drunk. He takes a peek at her breast while she's passed out, as one does.
A nice compromise to not do the full-on from Animal House.
Yeah.
Good call, Jackie.
I was like, okay, cool, that's good.
What a gent.
2001, that was considered like gentlemanly.
right.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Good guy.
Yeah, really good guy.
He's a good guy. It's his save the cat.
right. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Oh, 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. visiting Indeed each month, according to ComScore total visits. So it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire that you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is the best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
And so, so Meadow and Jackie, we see them with both their respected mothers doing like a little prying about, oh, is Jackie coming to Thanksgiving? This and that. Rosalie's fucking pumped. Rosalie's Aprile's pumped over this. Like, oh, an Aprile and a Soprano. Mm-hmm. And I got the impression Meadow or Carmela was not so much. What do you guys think?
Oh, she wasn't thinking about it.
Like she was not into Meadow dating Jackie Aprile Jr.
Probably not, but also know. Like she was also just kind of like consumed by hosting Thanksgiving, and
yeah,
if you have ever done that, it's the fucking biggest headache when you have a bunch of people coming up. So I think she was just, because then she's like, you just make sure you bring your almond tort or, you know, whatever the fuck.
Right. But I feel like that was her way of getting out of saying, like, I don't think it's a good idea. Like, it seemed like she
I don't know if she thought that. I think she would think it's a good idea. I think she's
excited when he comes over, like, to Thanksgiving dinner. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe you guys are right. I always got the impression that she was, especially because she knows what happened the last time a Soprano and Aprile got together, and that was Janice shooting Richie in the fucking chest and fleeing New Jersey.
Yeah, but this
would
different.
Happen here. But like, still, like, maybe she is realizing that Meadow dating somebody educated and outside of the family is probably best. But who knows?
Nah, but this is different because think of, like, these are two beautiful, like, you know, Soprano and Aprile. Like, these are the hot ones. Like, not like Janice and Richie, they were the Uggos. So those getting together, that was like oil and water. I mean,
Israel and Palestine.
I think everybody shits on this guy. The actor Jason Serbone, the guy who plays Jackie Jr. But I think he's great. I think he really encapsulates those type of guys from that era. Like,
true.
This episode especially, just like
the, like, Aqua Di Gio, like, right. Fucking
Hugo Boss, totally. Not the, you know, FE stuff. Like all those lines, I think, are just great. It just reminds me of like people I went to college with.
Her body's mad ripe.
Yeah, I believed him.
I
liked him too.
For sure. He gets a lot of shit. Like, people say he sucks, but I don't think so.
I think with time, I've appreciated the performance a little more. Like, I think all of us being East Coast guys of a certain age, like, we knew that guy. Like, we recognize that.
Maybe that's why. Maybe he doesn't have like a lot of range or something. Or sure. Like,
I mean, it was if that's the case, like, great casting still. Like, he
that's kind of how it felt to me. Like, he is a little bit of a dud, that guy.
Those guys were not being pre-med, and they were always trying to be into fashion or some shit.
Right Those guys were always robbing Jewel charity concerts.
Yeah, that too.
But like, that's also it's the same shit with Anthony Jr. It's like, these kids that are so much dumber than their fathers, like, you know, because they didn't have really to work for anything their whole life, you know, like, spoiled morons.
It's true. I actually have seen that, like now that the series is a little more aged, people react to AJ and Jackie Jr. a little more favorably than they did when it was actually airing. People are like, for sure, this guy fucked this actor. Yeah. But you know, now we can take a look back and be like, those were like the right guys at the right time for the, for those characters.
Yeah, it's like, actually they didn't he deserved to look down her shirt. You know what? It was like, you know, it was kind of earned. You know,
because at the time those people were actually watching themselves. Like, you know, the guy who's like, that's fuck true. Jackie Jr. is also like the guy who's like looking down someone's shirt when he's hooking up with a passed out girl.
Right.
So by the end of the episode, they hook up, right? They end up, guys, did they do it?
It's implied, yes. She wants to go home with him.
That's right.
And he's like, you sure?
Yeah.
It felt like a...
Oh, after she crashes, she steals his keys. And
right.
After a kind of weird scene out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah.
She's acting like all goofy.
Right. Yeah. I think
was the implication she was drunk. Maybe?
I think she was probably drunk, especially the way she drove his car immediately off an embankment.
Like, I wondered if they cut something. Or, was there like a previous scene?
That's true too, because it does sort of the episode. That storyline's not going there, and then it's all of a sudden there, right? So like,
yes,
Also, like, just inexcusable to never go to Doves. I mean. He was like, asked really nicely.
That's what the people want to see.
He asked really nicely, just come to Doves. Come to Doves.
Yeah, go to Doves. Come on.
But yeah, so that kicks off that relationship, which ends up being horrible and Jackie Jr. dying and Meadow being scarred from that and everything else. So not a happy union of Soprano and Peele after all. And then the episode ends.
Not a happy union for her or her father.
Nobody's happy.
It's the Sopranos. Nobody's fucking happy ever. No. And then we have the mix up in Melfi's office with Gloria Trillo, played by Annabelle
Sciorra.
Seriously, incredible actress, very beautiful, very talented. Like Tony just immediately gravitates to her. Even when he's in the room with Melfi, he's like, what's a girl like her need therapy for? Like, are you really that dense that you can't imagine? Like,
can't imagine that an attractive person also needs help.
Right. Yes.
2001 New Jersey.
Yeah.
I would think they'd be like, what?
She's beautiful and she sells Mercedes? Come on.
What's she talking about?
That's the dream.
I love
and body like that and selling cars. Hey, sign me up.
I love Tony's like sitting on the edge of the bed in his bedroom watching the Mercedes commercial. Mm-hmm. Did you guys catch that? That's
Joe
Montana's voice on there.
Yes,
Fat Tony of The Simpsons.
That's right.
Sort of like two Simpsons connections in this episode. What is going on?
Sopranos the voiceover for Mercedes went Joe Montana, Joe Spellman, and then John Hamm. I was very short-lived.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
No, I was curious if it went right from Joe Montana to John Hamm. That's what I thought when I was watching it.
Also, it's like the...
Pass the torch.
I mean, was it not the local like Mercedes commercial? Like, because usually like on like Northeast... tri-state area television, it's like some like woman that works there and she's like, come on down and Mercedes of Trowbridge, you know, like
I don't think
it would be accurate. Joe Montana, but you know. Maybe I just watched too many Knicks games. I mean, those are the commercials.
No, it was a national commercial. It was well produced.
Nice commercial. Let's talk about the commercial.
Actually, it was beautifully shot. Yes.
Let's talk about these 10 seconds of this show.
Yo, second unit fucking crushed it, dude.
Driving down the highway, good shots.
Yeah. So Tony goes in to buy a Mercedes, but obviously he's just like following up with this with Gloria, and then by episode's end. They're in a little tryst on the Stugatz, which we could have seen coming, but I love that like Melfi calls and definitely hears Tony's voice in the background and she's just like, what have I done? And then perfect little ending song to end shot to out the episode with the Mercedes parked by the by the Stugatz.
Yep.
Any other thing you guys, anything else you guys want to bring up about this episode or what?
Well, just having to watch the show again, seeing both of their kitchens over and over was really nice as a reminder of 2001 New Jersey. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah. I forgot how well this show does the set dressing.
Yep. It's so true. We talk about that all the time. It's crazy. That's like is one of the main reasons I think watching the show over and over again, like the repeat value of the show is incredible. Just because for certain type of people who are there for a certain time, like it feels like coming home, right? Like that is just so familiar.
It's crazy. Both of those kitchens, I was like, ah, I've been there.
Wait, they shot in my house?
Like, and also just knowing how much my parents would love those kitchens and be like, that's beautiful. Look how they redid their kitchen. Without any sort of irony to like, oh god. There's something horrible.
Oh, they got the mahogany finish.
This is true.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Wood cabinets. Yeah. Nice. Those are nice.
Always something shady going on in one of those kitchens, though, which is not too familiar. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ralphie, like, hey, if you ever need to sell ecstasy, just hit me up.
Yeah.
To his son.
Never happened to me. So I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, my dad never brought up that conversation.
No. Hello, football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. Can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take full advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. And don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We want to move on to Johnny the Nut or what?
Sure, yeah. Before we move on to Johnny the Nut, though, we got to shout out our boy Pizza Amici.
Yeah, oh, Pizza Amici.
Because we haven't done it yet. A fan of ours, his Instagram account is Pizza Amici. He makes pizza, and we shouted out him out on the podcast. And he delivered a very delicious pizza to me. It was a regular New York style and a Sicilian style pizza, and I gotta say it was fucking awesome. And I gave it to Dave and Paul shortly after, and you guys like it too, right?
Spells, delicious. You're a prince for driving me over half a pizza from Pizza.
You know
Beach.
What else am I that's fucking right. doing?
That's true.
So
dude, was so, but like not even like, oh yeah. I mean, you see on fucking Hollywood Boulevard like New York style pizza.
Yeah,
it's not, and but this is like legit. And then also like the I don't know if it's like Sicilian style, like the thicker crust comes in like a rectangle thing, like it tastes like my grandma's,
the chunks of tomatoes in the gravy.
Yeah, oh, the grandma slice.
Ooh. So good, so
it was
good.
Delicious.
So good.
My in-laws were in town, and we had a whole meal, and I came home and Spells delivered it. And I had some pizza at like 11 o'clock at night.
Just crushed it. Yeah.
It was delicious. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
Follow Pizza Amici. I don't think he sells it. He just does it for fun. But it's a really good pizza. Sometimes he's in New York and LA. Cool. So, you guys, I emailed you the Johnny the Nut, or I forwarded it from
Johnny the Nut is risen from the dead.
We've not had him in
a few episodes.
So, if you will, I'll dole out the parts. Does everybody have the script?
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Got it.
Paul, you played Ralphie.
Okay.
Dan, you play Christopher and the cop. Okay. And Dave, you play Tony.
Okay, and there's also are you gonna play Pauly?
I'll play Pauly and okay. Johnny the Nut.
Okay, great.
Okay, sounds now great. You know this is Johnny the Nut. This is Johnny the Nut is a guy we know who like writes these scripts, and it's a fan favorite. Here he is right now, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny the Nut. Oh, happy Thanksgiving for fucking
there
Johnny.
He is.
Hey,
Johnny,
hey.
You always sneak up.
What's
on
up, you
man?
Guys? Yeah. I got over COVID. I'm good. I'm doing good.
Oh, great.
All right, happy congrats. Thanksgiving from.
I don't know how this guy always gets the Zoom link, but just
Johnny
pops in.
Yeah, pops in at the
knows
right
when
time.
To pop in.
Okay, first things first. Before we get into this nasty shit, I gotta say that this election interference isn't just going to get swept under the rug, okay? Donald Trump is going to be sworn in on January 20th, and that's
right.
That.
All right, Nut.
We're going to slowly okay. slip into authoritarianism like America should, and we will all be controlled under Mr. Trump's thumb. Now to the shit sick, you fucking degenerates, cream your dicks for. Christopher hey. Is unloading turkeys off a truck and into the Bing. He is holding a turkey when he comes upon an orgy happening at the Bing. Ralphie.
Oh, shit. Give me a piece of that turkey while I come, will ya?
It's raw. I haven't cooked it yet.
Well cook
that
shit.
And then get in here. We're knee deep in pussy over here. Christopher shrugs and then goes in the back to start cooking the turkey. Tony walks in.
Oh, what are you two itchy drools doing? You can't be fucking on the stage like that.
Come on, Tone. It feels so good.
Yeah, you convinced me. Is that Tracy?
Easy sell. Yeah, I didn't actually beat her to death, Tone. She's alive, and we can all fuck her now. So mad.
That works out for me. Oh, shit, and there's a cop here, too.
Yeah, it's the one from the last episode who says, watch the braces while Tracy's sucking his cop dick.
Looks like she's still blowing him.
Yeah, I'm actually glad she's back, Tone. I don't mind the braces on my dick now. Ow, 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 it feels so good.
Just then a fucking turkey comes out from the back. Turkey. Hey, your friend Christopher was trying to cook me, but really I just wanted to get my dick wet. Can I join in?
What the hell? It's Thanksgiving.
They all come. The end. Oh, yeah, I actually like this one from Johnny
yeah.
Knight.
Oh, really gets into
you?
The holiday spirit.
Yeah, there's so many things
did Johnny
to
leave?
Love. Yeah.
He
slipped in.
Johnny dropped off.
Yeah, he peaced out real quick.
Does he get nervous? Yeah. He doesn't want to hear
he's
it.
Gotta
he does
cook.
Get a little
he's
nervous.
Gotta cook
he's
got to
stand by
tomorrow.
His work, though. He's got to stand by his work
yeah.
if he believes in it.
Next time he should stay. We could give him
I've been trying to get him on the pod.
No, I have no notes. No notes.
Joe. If you talk to him between now and like the next couple hours when I edit the pod, ask him if he wants me to edit, I don't know, like the whole thing out or maybe that beginning monologue about authoritarianism.
Well, you know, like we've been called out for like, politics stuff. So I think he was just speaking to that. And I think he really wants it in. Like, I think he wants the podcast fans to. To know
Dan,
how he feels about certain issues.
Yeah, sure. Dan, a couple of listeners have implied that we've mentioned politics too much, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
Our anti-Trump sentiments do not sit well with a lot of Sopranos viewers, oddly.
Interesting.
We also don't care.
And you know what? This week we got proven wrong, dude. It was rigged, and fuck, dude, we were wrong. We can admit we're wrong. when we're wrong, we admit we're wrong. Okay?
We got the conclusive evidence. Everything was rigged. Right. Yes. Great, Johnny the Nut.
Okay, well.
Yeah, he left. Okay. He left. He left, Paul.
Yeah, he's gone. So let's move on to fucking internet. This is, of course, the part of the show where we source questions, comments from what you, the people, are talking about across the internet about this episode of The Sopranos. This one from Reddit, user SundayGirl232. Something that's always bothered me about He Is Risen. So Tony tells Carm to cancel Thanksgiving with Ro and Ralph because his excuse won't be as nice as hers. Carm then calls Ro and weaves a tale of troubling blood test results involving her father. Her parents want to have a quiet Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah.
It's a great lie.
Which
great
is lie. Great lie.
Brilliant.
On Thanksgiving night, though, Jackie Jr. shows up at the Soprano house to see what Meadow's up to. When he arrives, everyone's there. Carmen's parents, Chris and Aide, Janice and her narcoleptic church friend. Wouldn't Jackie assume that Meadow was at her grandparents' house when Jackie walked in and saw all the guests? Wouldn't he realize that Carm had lied, and wouldn't he have gone back and told Ro? What do you guys think?
I don't think he cares.
Yeah.
True.
I don't think he, and then how do you know? Well, we don't. Yeah, I mean,
I think Carmella, if anything, would have been like a
she
little.
She would have cared, yeah.
Right, like, oh, I lied to my best friend.
Yeah, if anything, yeah, I'm surprised that she would say, yeah, oh, I'm not going to let him in or something.
Right.
You know, like you could talk to him outside.
Keep him out.
You know,
yeah.
I mean.
It did seem weird that she was just like, oh, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I mean, look.
It was a small
look,
Thanksgiving,
yeah,
though,
true.
Too.
It's not like, yeah, it's not like it was like 15 people there. And, you know, you're at the end of the meal. You've been drinking some wine. You're loosened up. Like,
but they all
they might
are,
just be like, oh, whatever. It's like, they can see there's like fucking eight of us. It's not.
But
big
they
deal.
All are related too.
Right, right. Except for
so
fucking
it's technically
Aaron,
family.
You know?
Well,
huh? Yeah.
Except for
oh
Aaron,
yeah,
but
it's but
like,
it's but it's
that's her
but
date.
It's
yeah.
But it's Janice's date. Yeah, like right. You know, Aide is Christopher, and Christopher is Carmella's cousin. So it's like
it's, yeah, it's not like Eugene is there with his wife or some. You know,
yeah,
shit.
Even if she asked him. Who like who was there if she suspected that she had been lied to, which I don't think she did. I think just no. What's his name?
Ralphie was
Joe
yeah.
Palamentari
yeah, yeah.
knew.
Yeah.
Chaz
yeah,
Palamentari.
So,
yeah.
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 That is definitely a Soprano actor.
Chaz.
Like, we'll find it.
Joe Pants of Leone. Yeah.
Joey Pants. We'll just say Joey Pants.
Mm. Oh, Joey that's Pants. Like yeah, Danny Aiello is like he knows what's up. Yeah.
Who else is Italian? Ralph Macchio. I didn't even see Ralph Macchio.
Yeah,
that was my complaint about the episode.
Yeah, hey, fair complaint.
No Macchio appearances. No, but just knowing, like, growing up Italian American in the suburbs in the tri-state area, constantly getting out of appointments and like social gatherings due to lies of my mother and having to cover. Like that did not ring true to me, guys. Like Carmella would have been mortified. So
that's fair.
This one from user Melly Miles 1. He has risen season 3, episode 8. There's a scene between Melfi and her shrink, Elliot, where she is complaining about a patient. Is she complaining about Gloria? Do you guys remember the scene?
Mm-hmm.
This is she's like
it's like well, very quick.
Right. Well, she's.
I heard.
Yeah, exactly. which doesn't really like. I mean, I guess they're just sort of. After Melfi was sexually assaulted a few episodes ago, I feel like they just needed to sort of sprinkle in some things to be like, hey, we didn't just like drop that, like giving her character some respect and showing her process of dealing with it. But it doesn't really add anything to the episode, this episode itself. And it doesn't really go anywhere. So it's kind of like, why is she like, why have the scene? And do you think she was complaining about Gloria when she was like talking about this, the one of her patients?
I don't know. But did she says like these fucking interruptions? She's talking about Elliot, right? Her therapist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a funny, I thought that was a funny line. That's all I have to say about that scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love if I just said that to my therapist. These fucking interruptions.
Was I mean?
Isn't that
is
what
funny,
they're
like
supposed, the, they supposed to do?
True.
Interrupt.
But like, I think you get you probably have like bouts of being like feeling judged more so because you're also peers and you're not you know because she's also a therapist.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You probably
yeah.
you probably like are much more like touchy. About like
of course
the way he's
enjoyed
going about
it.
Things yeah yeah oh yeah, yeah no it's great
you should use
also
that.
Also also he's like he's so fucking pretentious like
oh sure
I completely understand how she's like annoyed by him all the time
he does suck this one from
yeah I don't know I have no idea she could be talking about anybody I mean I'm sure there's a lot of her patients that she complains about because you know they're just like whiny people you
sorry
know?
Melly Miles one yeah actually the description of the patient could have fit any number of female patients in the New Jersey area at that time? Inconclusive. We can't answer that for you. We failed.
Inconclusive.
We failed as a podcast, Sopranos podcast. This one from Brick Wall of Bricks. In He Has Risen, okay, what does Johnny Sack mean by this? Sack asks Ralph if he would take capo of his crew as a resolution to his feud with Tony. Ralph says, fuck no. Doesn't capo mean captain? Why would Ralph say no when he was campaigning to become captain earlier in the season? Or does capo mean something different?
What?
Capo 100% means captain.
Yeah.
And yes, that is you're right. Ralph has been campaigning that spot the entire season. But go ahead, Spells.
But then he made Gigi captain, right?
Right.
He had made Gigi captain, but you know, this is when Johnny Sack was like sort of negotiating, like, hey, would you
what
take
the fuck?
Yo.
Hello?
I'm sorry, my what the fuck was that? My mom tried to FaceTime.
You should add her.
Yeah. Maybe she knows.
That would have been great.
I was actually a little confused by that too, that moment.
I think what it is because even when he does get captain, he says to Tony, like, I need to know this isn't just because some guy blew his gasket. Like, I need to know it's on merit, right?
Right.
So that's why he's saying, like, no, I wouldn't take it because I know it would be
like a consolation
offer.
Yeah. I think ultimately, and I think he's also trying to, like,
okay,
maybe impress Johnny with his, you know, sort of like, no, that's not what I'm actually gunning for here. Like, I don't want a promotion out of this, and I don't want to blah, blah, blah. Like, I just want an apology.
It would be messy for Ralphie because Gigi's already captain. So right. It would be like against rank if he was like, oh, now I'm captain. No, that wouldn't fly.
Right.
That's, I think. So he was like saying, no, I wouldn't. But of course he would, because he's a fucking asshole snake.
Right.
Like, he would still fuck him over, but he's trying to be like, no, I wouldn't, you know?
Mm-hmm. True. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one from, this is a good one, off of Twitter, at Strong Piss. This is a clip from season 3, episode 8, He Has Risen, of The Sopranos. Tony is test driving a new Mercedes. Note that he drives counter to the directional arrow painted on the pavement when he drives out of the car dealership. This establishes him as a bad guy. Thoughts?
Okay. Next question. Yeah.
These aren't all winners, okay? I think we've set up that Tony Soprano is perhaps not the greatest of gentlemen by episode 8 of season 3. That's just me. But yes, it could have been a director's choice to have him, as a little detail, have him drive out against the arrow in the car out of the car dealership.
I mean, maybe.
It makes sense.
It could also just have been practical for like the shot at, like, you know, the way that they had to shoot it or whatever. But sure, strong
yeah,
piss,
sure,
whatever
strong
you say.
Piss. If that's how you want to watch television, then have fun. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah, fine. You need a fucking Easter egg in every fucking scene, you piece of shit? Fine. Great.
It's a road, okay? Yeah. There's going to be arrows.
He's got to drive. He's got to go out some way. Come on.
Hey,
sometimes they point the right way. Sometimes they don't.
Come on. Sometimes it is a pipe, motherfucker. Okay, come on. Jesus.
This question from Go Lightly Gal 11. Where was AJ during Thanksgiving dinner? This might be a stupid question, but where was AJ during Thanksgiving dinner? And He Has Risen. We see him watching football with the guys on the couch, but he's nowhere to be seen during dinner. I've seen this show so many times, and I never noticed till now that he wasn't there. Guys, what compelling reason could AJ have had to not be sitting at the table for Thanksgiving dinner?
He finishes dinner and then he went on the internet. You know, it's like a bunch of adults at the table. So why the fuck would he want to be there?
Yeah, he had to play fucking SimCity or whatever the fuck. Like, he had to get the fuck out of there.
That's actually a really good choice if that is what it was. That it's like he probably was, because Jackie Jr. coming, or Ralphie Jr. coming over is, you know, the end of the, it's supposed to be like towards the end of the meal.
Right, right.
like end of the night kind of thing.
He reasonably wouldn't be still sitting there with his grandparents and parents and
they're having the annoying adult conversation. Like,
yeah.
I could see him being like, can I be excused? He does that a million times in the show.
It's true.
Now that I think is a choice as opposed to a fucking arrow on a fucking driveway or some shit.
Right. do you think Robert Eiler wasn't available that day for some reason?
No, I think they probably just were like, oh, you wouldn't be here because it's like towards the end of the night and, you know, they're drinking or whatever. You probably just go to your room.
Also, he was, or go
hang out with your friends. Like,
also,
you're a teenager.
Robert Eiler's under 18 when they were shooting this season.
So child labor laws. Like,
it could have been a decision by the AD and the producers.
I feel like it would have been weird. I think had he been in that scene.
Yeah.
And
he's the first one.
Like Meadows talking about going out. Right. And stuff, and like they're having those conversations, he'd be like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Just sitting there. I mean, I guess if he was like sleeping, well, but they already have the narcoleptic.
Have him asleep on the table, just sprawled out.
Yeah, or just like really bored.
Yeah.
It's a shame though, because I think his character would have really appreciated Tony throwing the dinner roll. And the funniest moment in Sopranos history, as we established.
He missed.
Unanimously.
He
missed it.
And this final one from a favorite of ours on the pod. Where's the Gabagool?
Oh, on Twitter. Oh, baby.
Can you guys guess how many mentions or sightings of Gabagool in this episode? In the Thanksgiving episode?
I don't think there's any.
Yeah, they talked a lot about Manigut.
Yeah, they did.
There's Manigut.
First you get the Manigut, then the bird.
The bird. I love Manicotti.
Oh yeah, we didn't even tell. That's a great little cameo by the Reverend from season 2 coming in, taking stolen turkeys.
Yeah, him and Hesh just piling fucking 50 turkeys into their fucking car.
Yep. I love Manicotti. but yeah, there were zero Gabagool counts this episode. Little disappointing. Come on, Sopranos. Come on.
Yeah,
there's too much other food. A mega food episode to be had.
It's true. And that's all I got for fucking internet.
Nice.
All right. Good stuff. Dan, thank you for coming on. You got any?
Thanks for having me.
Got any fucking shit you want to plug, motherfucker, dude?
Please listen to my podcast, Bible Brothers. My friend Robert Padnick and I are reading the Bible for the first time in our lives, and it's been described as mystery science theater. For the Bible.
I love it. I love it. Also, awesome. Dan, Dan and I play basketball together when there's not a pandemic going on. And I don't know if I ever told you this, but your like fake stand-up special is like one of my favorite things ever. I assume it's still on YouTube somewhere.
It is. Please. Yeah. I think if you just look up Dan Klein stand-up special or stand-up comedy,
it's perfect. It completely makes fun of all the like stand-up specials where it's like seeing the guys stand up and then seeing them on the street with fans and shit. It's the best.
It's an hour long.
It's a legit hour long special. Well, good stuff, Dan. Thanks for coming on.
Of course.
Happy Thanksgiving to our listeners. As always, you can hit us up at osopranospod@gmail.com with questions, concerns, shit you hate, shit you love, shit you fucking really hate. You can find us on Twitter.
Don't
and
like
Instagram.
Our politics? Let us know.
Yeah, let us know how you liked all the fucking Trump talk this up.
I'm
guessing how that'll go. You can always find us on Twitter and Instagram at osopranospod. Have a good, safe holiday. Don't fucking pile into the house with the fucking 20 fucking people. Come on. Don't be stupid. Although, you'll be listening to this tomorrow and it'll probably be too late. So, hey, I hope you don't get sick. And
yeah, they were waiting for you on the Sopranos podcast to be like, well, what? He said it. So I guess I gotta leave.
When it posts tonight at like midnight, they might be on the plane and be like, we're turning around. We're not going to grandma's house. All right, until next time. Oh.
Hey.